expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we all sing together from Psalter 227, the first and the third stanza. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. We mention to you Psalter 227, the first and the third stanza. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to John, the 7th chapter, starting at verse 35 through the end. We mentioned to you John chapter 7, starting at verse 35. But before, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you John chapter 7, starting at verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he had said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us this evening. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on this thy day, for the second time, we may be in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. On this last Lord's Day of this year that has passed rapidly, this year that we have heard thy word many times, every day of this year, every Lord's Day of this year, the doors were opened, thy word was proclaimed, law and gospel. And Lord, thou knowest how it is in our hearts, whether by the law, by thy word, we have become guilty and lost, and whether by the gospel there's hope, faith in thee. And Lord, we ask thee then that in the last Lord's Day of this year, that thou would gather with us. Give yet a good hour in thy house, in thy favor, with thy blessing, especially with thy presence, Lord. Come with the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit and we need the Lamb. We need that triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because in thee and only in thee, that almighty triune God of heaven and earth, there is salvation for hopeless, helpless, guilty, lost sinners. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would work mightily, irresistibly, when thy word, especially also those precious words of the Lord Jesus Christ, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly will flow rivers of water. Oh, may we not only hear it with our ears at the end of this year, but may it enter into our hearts, that outward call, that outward invitation may come with power inwardly, and that it may bring life, and that it may draw thirsty, needy, guilty, lost sinners unto thee, and that they may come, may be trembling, fearing, but yet looking unto thee, and that they may truly drink out of that abundant fountain that has flowed from thee, from thy merits. Lord, we beg thee then that there may be a little water tonight for poor and needy sinners, sinners who are waiting upon thee, sinners who can find nothing to quench that thirst that thou hast planted in their hearts. There's nothing in the world no more that can satisfy their hearts, and yet they need to confess so often, so sinful, so foolish. So again, looking to the world, looking to self. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then that thou would work mightily and draw with the cords of love unto thyself. Remember the whole congregation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, for those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, that they may be made alive. Give, that thy servant may preach as a dying sinner unto dying sinners, and that thou would richly and abundantly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that dead and dying sinners may receive life, that thou would pass them by and say, live, and that they live, that they may hear that precious invitation, and that it may break their hearts. The Lord is also inviting me, and that their hearts may be broken by thy mercy, by thy goodness. May they know they only deserve that thou would cast us all away, and that thou would not invite, but say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. That is all we deserve because of our sin, because of who we are and remain to be. But what a wonder. May it become a wonder. May it become amazing grace for wretches tonight. And that thy word may come with power and work faith and draw to thyself. And may thy dear people, those little lambs and sheep, be given to drink and taste and receive those blessings that only flow from the wombs of thy beloved Son, that flow to undeserving sinners because of thy righteousness, because of thy blood, because of what thou hast merited. We only deserve wrath, but thou hast merited peace for a people who have no peace in themselves, who can find no peace in nothing. But may they experience that peace with God that passeth all understanding. May guilty sinners experience and taste something of the forgiveness of their sins in thee, that overflowing fountain of all good. Lord, we read in thy word that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Oh, may those words come with power and sweetness into souls tonight. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou then draw to thyself? Draw us, Lord, and we will run after thee. May we ask it, Lord, especially first for thy honor, for thy glory, because it is all about thee. The salvation of sinners is for thy glory, that there will be an innumerable multitude redeemed, washed and cleansed and clothed in fine linen around thy throne eternally is for thy honor, for thy glory. But may we beg thee that us and our dear children, this congregation, may also, by thy mercy and grace, be recipients, and that thou would give life and keep that life, but also teach and lead and guide in those mysteries of faith, and that poor needy sinners, that those mourners may be comforted, that those who have nothing in self may be given to see all the riches, the preciousness, the glories that is in thee. Lord, wilt thou comfort us with that only comfort in life and in death, and that we do not belong to ourselves, but that we belong to thee, that faithful Savior who has bought and paid us with thy blood, that we belong unto thee, that faithful Father in heaven, who will keep in thy almighty hands those whom thou hast chosen, those whom thou hast regenerated, wilt also bring home, but also to know that in us thy Holy Spirit dwells, that Spirit that testifies with the hearts of thy dear children that they are children of God, heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, we beg thee then, teach and apply by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give much opening to preach. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances. Give that thy servants throughout the whole world may freely preach the preciousness and the riches of the gospel, and that we would not fear man, but that we would fear God, and that we may preach and say, thus saith the Lord, but also free us, Lord, because we're sons of men, from the applause of men, but that we may speak in thy presence and desire thy favor, thy blessing, thy honor, thy glory. Lord, remember us as a consistory. Bind us together in love, and we may thank thee that we may have a brotherly openness. Give love and unity that we may have one purpose, one desire, and that is for thy kingdom to come, that sinners would be born again, and that thy people may be edified, instructed, reproved, but also comforted, that thy kingdom would come. Lord, remember thus then in our offices, who is sufficient for these great tasks. We're sinful men. We need thy grace. Help us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Guide us, Lord, by thy word and spirit, that we may be a blessing to this congregation, to this flock that thou hast entrusted to our care, and not a hindrance, not an obstacle. Lord, we beg that thou would remember the persecuted church. We have such rich blessings, and we take it all for granted, accustomed to coming to thy house twice every Lord's Day without fear or obstacles. Oh, may we lay them before thee, thy dear sheep who suffer because of the name of Jesus Christ. Help them, uphold them, comfort them, Lord. Remember also the government of this great nation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give us leaders who have the fear of the Lord in their hearts. Not only leaders that would be a blessing economically, but especially, Lord, leaders who fear the Lord, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, but also who has leaders who fear the Lord. May we ask thee, Lord, for thy honor, for thy glory, and a blessing for this nation. Lord, bless thy word throughout this nation also. Guide us, lead us, keep us to the truth of thy word. Do not take the light of the candlestick of thy word away from us. Do not give us a famine of thy word. We deserve it, Lord, because of all our sins, all the sins of abortion, all the confusion, all the wickedness, all the marriages of men with men, women with women, but also all the sins of transgender, but all the sins of breaking all thy commandments, Lord. Oh, have mercy upon us. We pray and ask thee to remember also parents who grieve because their children have left and are living in the world. Oh, may they see that thou art yet that almighty God who can work powerfully, irresistibly. But whether we are in the world or whether we are in thy house, we need the same thing. We need thy grace, Lord. We need thy spirit. We need those lessons that we are sin, that we are guilty, that thou art that almighty God who will by no means clear the guilty. But also we need to be taught, shown, and revealed unto us that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, work mightily. Thou art the Almighty One. There's no hope in men, but our only hope is in thee. Have mercy, Lord. Remember then also those who suffer because of the ailments, not only of the body, but because of the mind, not understood by many. But Lord, thou knowest them, care for them. Remember those who suffer for things that have happened in the past. Comfort them. Those who are grieving because of their sins, of their wickedness, of what they have done. O Lord, we pray, bring them to repentance and give also them to see of that blood that cleanses from all sin. Sin as black as hell, because that blood has the power to wash and to cleanse. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee on the last Lord day of this year. And may we beg thee that thou would come among us, Lord. Work mightily, work irresistibly with thy Holy Spirit. May there be much prayer. May there be opening. Be with the mouth of thy servant. Be with his heart, his mind. Use him as an instrument. And give him the unction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that thy word may be proclaimed, and that it may go with power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and enter into hearts. Lord, we deserve nothing, because we have sinned everything away, as a consistory, as a congregation, as adults, as teenagers, as children, as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, as single ones. O Lord, look upon us then in mercy through thy Son, in whom thou art well pleased. O, we beg thee, Lord, that thy word may be blessed richly. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us continue now, congregation, with singing from Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Yea, athirst for thee I cry, God of life. O, when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? Psalter 416, stanzas 1, 4, and 5, and the collections for this evening is first for the church and the second for the Student Support Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, by our sin and rebellion in paradise, we have left the fountain of all good, the overflowing fountain of good. Who is the overflowing fountain of all good, congregation? It's God, the Almighty God of heaven and earth. Listen to what the Lord says tonight about us, which we read in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We have left God, that overflowing fountain of all good. And by nature now, we try to find a way to quench our thirst by this world. And there's only one fountain to drink from that will satisfy our hearts and our souls. It's not in this world. There's only one fountain that can satisfy and give eternal joy and life. And that is the precious Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, on the last Lord's Day of this year, the Lord Jesus Christ has a word for you and me. We are going to hear an invitation from the lips of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to give a promise that this world can never give. Never. He has living water to satisfy sinful people. Sinful people that have left him, the overflowing fountain of all good, and who only by nature try to satisfy their soul with all sin and wickedness. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to give an invitation tonight. Before we come to our text, I first need to give you a little background. A background of John 7 and the context of the invitation which the Lord Jesus speaks in verse 37. As the Lord Jesus Christ is giving this invitation, he is in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem at this time is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And Jewish people from all different countries are all gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate this feast for 8 days. This feast in Jerusalem was unique. It was a celebration which the Israelites remembered that the Almighty God had graciously and in his mercy and goodness cared for their forefathers as they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. The Lord had led them through this wilderness, and every day he fed them. Children, what did the Lord feed those Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years? Every day, he provided manna. He cared for them. Every day he gave them food, but he also gave them water to quench their thirst. Do you remember in Numbers, in chapter 20, when the Israelites came to Zin and they had no water to drink and they rebelled against God? And the Lord, in his mercy and goodness, provided rebellious sinners with water. Water from the rock. We read about this in Psalm 78, verse 15 and 16. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. An abundance. Everyday food and everyday water. And during this feast, the Jews, they lived in little tents, in little booths. This was not only done to remember what the Lord had cared and provided for them in the desert, but also a teaching. A teaching for God's people that they are pilgrims on this earth. This earth is not their home. Children of God, this earth is not your home. Or is this world your home, my friend? Now, during this celebration in Jerusalem, in the celebration of this feast, the priests would go and they would take golden cups and they would go outside the city to Siloam, and they would take water from the pool in these golden cups, and they return back to the temple, and they would walk around the altar 7 times. And during this procedure, a choir would sing the words of Isaiah chapter 12. The priest would pour this water on the altar. This had a great significance. This was a preaching to the people, but also to us. It was symbolic that the Messiah would come, and he would bring waters of salvation, deep wells, overflowing fountain of abundance of grace and mercy for the chiefest of sinners, and that through his blood there is forgiveness and reconciliation. They would sing what we read in Isaiah 12, verse 2 and 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. This is the background to understand the context when the Lord Jesus Christ gives a very rich and precious invitation. And so let us now read our text from the Word of God. Listen, the Lord Jesus is going to speak. John 7, verse 37 and 38. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So on this last Lord's Day, you may hear a precious invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ, from his word. The theme for this evening is the invitation from Jesus Christ, come and drink. The invitation from Jesus Christ, come and drink. 3 thoughts. First, the urgency of this invitation. We read in our text, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. We see an urgency. There's an urgency, congregation. I will explain that. So first, the urgency of this invitation. Second, the freeness of this invitation. What do we read? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The freeness of this invitation. And lastly, the promise connected to the invitation. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. May the Lord bless his word on this last Lord's Day, on this evening, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So our first thought, the urgency of this invitation. This is an invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of John. And this invitation tonight is not my invitation, not at all. But it's an invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You could see him standing there, so to speak, with his arms open, talking, speaking, crying to the people. His heart is filled with warmth. His heart is filled with love, but his heart is also filled with urgency. He is pleading. He is inviting sinners to come to him. He knows their needs. He knows of what role they are by nature, that they're going to a never-ending eternity. And if they do not come to him, and if they do not drink of him, they will die eternally. They will perish. There's urgency. Verse 37. in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." On this last great day of the feast, the Lord Jesus Christ has an urgent invitation. Everything has been coming to a climax in these 8 days of this feast. The last day is the day when those priests will go with those golden cups and get that water and pour it on the altar. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to that great multitude, don't look to those golden cups. Don't look to that water that I've created, but look to me. There's water in me. You need me. And his last day, this would be the last day when that whole multitude would be there, because tomorrow they will travel all back home, many of them to all their different countries. So today, on this day, on this last day was the great feast. The Lord Jesus Christ feels an urgency. Today I must proclaim, I must call, I must invite, because tomorrow he doesn't have the same opportunity to reach that multitudes. And congregation, this evening, there is also an urgent invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know if we have tomorrow. We say, the Lord willing, we will enter into the year 2025. But we do not know. Tomorrow is uncertain. Today is the day to hear his voice. Harden not your heart, congregation. Today. What did Paul write in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1? We then, as workers together with him, beseech ye also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. And he says in verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In the gospel, there is always a sense of urgency. There's urgency. Congregation, I do not know if you will ever hear another invitation. I do not know if you will ever hear another blessed invitation from the precious Lord Jesus Christ. This may be the last time, but tonight, in God's providence, in his mercy, in his goodness, you may hear it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Why must there also in the preaching? Yes, we must preach the whole counsel of God. But why also in the preaching, there also must be the invitation? There must be, congregation. But why? How does the Lord draw guilty, wretched sinners who can only understand that he would never, ever invite them? Why does he invite them to draw them to himself? That those wretched ones who feel so guilty, so unworthy to ever to come to him, that they're so polluted that they would only pollute him. May I come? And he brings the invitation to draw them with the cords of love to himself. Hellenbrook, in the chapter on the covenant of grace, he has a question. How does a sinner enter into this covenant? What would be your answer? You say he needs to be born again. Amen. He needs God's Spirit. Absolutely. But how? How are those wretched sinners drawn to the rich Savior? Hellenbrook's answer is, God first comes to him when he kindly and beseechingly invites him. The invitation must be there also. The open, free invitation to draw those poor, wretched sinners to himself. And we read in verse 37, and Jesus stood. He stood. He was sitting. He stood up. This is not normal, congregation. No, this is not normal. Why? Because usually when a rabbi taught, he sat down. We stand to preach. But usually in that time, as the Lord Jesus Christ also did on the Sermon on the Mount, he sat, as you can read in Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2. But he stood up. The Lord Jesus Christ feels an urgency in his heart. He wants to stand up. He wants his voice to reach all those ears of the whole multitude. He wants to be seen, that they know this invitation comes from him. Him who is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Mediator, the Redeemer. But what else does he do? He doesn't only stand up. What else does he do? He raised his voice. He raised his voice. We read in verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. He lifted up his voice. He didn't only want to be seen, he wanted to be heard. He wanted to be heard. He wanted an invitation to go into the ears. He wants the attention of the crowds. He wants those people, those perishing sinners, to hear. And so he stands with an urgency and he lifts up his voice and he proclaims to the people a blessed invitation. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Lord Jesus Christ desires sinners who have rebelled against him and have no desire by nature to ever return unto him to hear the invitation. What a wonder we turned our back to him. We're enemies by nature. No desire, no thirst, no hunger. And what do we read in Job? By nature, we drink iniquity like water. But he who is the living water, that overflowing fountain of good, stood up, lifted up his voice, and he gave an invitation. I think of examples in the New Testament when people cried unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can understand that. Do you? Have you cried? For example, that woman of Canaan who raised her voice and cried out, as we read in Matthew 15, verse 15, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She cried to him. She wanted him to hear her need. I think of blind Bartimaeus, as we read in Mark 10, verse 47. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the multitude said, "Please be quiet." But he cried all the louder. He wanted to be heard. But now it is the opposite. It's the opposite. The Lord Jesus Christ, that overflowing fountain, the living waters, he stands up and he cries to sinners. He cries to the multitude, he who is very God and very man. What mercy, what love unto you, O men, I do call, as we read in Proverbs 8. Did he come to condemn? No, we don't read that. He came into the world, not to condemn the world, but through the world, through him, might be saved. He came to seek and to save the lost. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't whisper. He doesn't whisper so no one can hear. He doesn't just speak softly so just the closest people could hear him. No, he lifts up his voice. He cries. He wants all to hear. There's urgency. They need to hear it. They need to hear it on this last day of this great feast. And congregation, you also need to hear it on this last Lord's Day of 2024. The Holy Spirit inspired John to write this invitation in the gospel. Why? So that not only those people in that day and the Feast of the Tabernacles would hear it, but also that you may hear it, that I may hear it today. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. When do we raise our voices? When do we lift up our voices, adults? When we have a need for help, children? When do you cry when you're outside? When do you lift up your voice? You do it when there's an urgent need for help. Then you say, "Mom, help! Dad, help!" But the Lord Jesus Christ, he lifts up his voice. It's urgent. He knew that every Jew in Jerusalem on those feast days had a great need. They needed him. They needed water, that flowing fountain of water of grace. And he also knows your heart. He knows every single person here, and he knows my heart. He knows that without him, you will eternally perish. Without him, you will never be reconciled with God, against whom you have sinned. And so he does everything to be heard in that time, but he also wants to be heard today. He wants to speak to you. He wants to proclaim to you on this last Lord's Day of 2024 an invitation. There's an urgency. And what do we do by nature, young men? What do we do, young people? Yeah, I understand you. What do? We say later. Later. I first want to enjoy life a little bit. I want to have a little fun. I want to do this. I want to do that. And we procrastinate. This is a testimony of our spiritual deadness. There's an urgency, but we just say later. When we're young, we think we're going to live for many years. Many years. But in our denomination in this past year, not only older ones died, younger ones died, children died, babies even died. There's an urgency. And when we're older, then we have so many cares. But this evening, dear congregation, children, young people, adults, there's an urgency. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his love and his mercy and his grace, proclaims an invitation. If any man thirst, come unto me and drink. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. What an example also as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. There needs to be an urgency in our preaching. There needs to be an urgency for the congregation that the Lord has placed you in. Sinners are perishing. Sinners are going to a never-ending eternity and perishing. People are perishing. There needs to be an urgency. Paul knew this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Congregation, there's an urgency. May the Lord give love in my heart and for your perishing soul, and that there may be urgency. You need to hear, yes, the full counsel of God, but also the invitation. There's urgency. And so we come to the end of our first thought. Our second thought, the freeness of this invitation. It is a free invitation. The gospel invitation is free. It must and may be proclaimed to whoever and whosoever. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if any man, let him come unto me and drink. Three phrases which we will consider to understand this invitation and the freeness of this invitation. He begins, the Lord Jesus, with this invitation, if any man. That includes any person. Or it could say it includes every person. Whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Lord has to say. None is excluded in this invitation. None. Sometimes when there's invitations, you get an invitation in your mailbox, a wedding invitation, and you open it up. And children, you're not included. It says, Mom and Dad, you're not included. But in this invitation, it says, if any man. You say, seriously? Is this really true? Is this invitation free to all? Yes, it is. Remember, in the canons of Dort, our forefathers, against the remonstrance, against those who taught of free will, wrote a beautiful article. Let's read it together for a moment, congregation. Canons of Dort, third and fourth head, article 8. You can find in the back of your Psalter on page 107. Page 107, article 8. As many as are called by the gospel are unfeignedly called, sincerely called. Yes. And we don't like this. We don't like to hear that we're invited. We'd rather hear we're unable. But it teaches us of our guilt. But for poor and needy, thirsty sinners, this invitation becomes sweet. As many as are called by the gospel are unfeignedly called. For God hath most earnestly and truly declared in his word what will be acceptable to him, namely, that all who are called should comply with the invitation. He moreover seriously promises eternal life and rest to as many as shall come to him and believe on him. The free invitation of the gospel. But it's also important to remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ proclaims this free invitation, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That there were thousands and thousands of Jews gathered in Jerusalem on that feast day, probably the same multitude as they had on the day of Pentecost in number. What an excellent opportunity to proclaim freely the invitation of the gospel to a multitude of lost sinners. Whoever you are, male or female, boy or girl, no matter what color your skin is, no matter whether you're rich or poor, it does not matter how great your sins are, the Lord Jesus Christ urgently and freely calls, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And congregation, we're all thirsty. Yes, we are. We're all thirsty. But there are two types of thirsts. By nature, because we left the overflowing fountain of all good, we only thirst for everything that's sinful in the world. And that is our guilt. It's our guilt. And by God's grace, sinners become thirsty. They become thirsty. And the truth of the Bible is, no one will ever come and drink until they are thirsty. That's the truth. That's the doctrine. It's not until a sinner thirsts in his or her soul for the living God that they will come and drink. No one will come and drink until they're thirsty. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ urgently and freely invites. For example, children, young people, maybe you have done this yourself. Maybe you, in the summer, you had a lemonade stand and you had a little sign, free lemonade by the road. Now, if you would do that in winter when it's minus 12 and freezing and cold, who would ever stop? No one's thirsty. None would ever stop. But you do this on a hot day, close, where people have been walking maybe for hours in the beating sun, and they become thirsty. They become thirsty, and so they stop. They're thankful that there's a drink. They stop and drink because they're thirsty. And no sinner, none, not one boy, not one girl, not one man, not one woman will ever come to the fountain of living waters and drink until they are thirsty. The Lord Jesus Christ uses a metaphor. Thirst is describing a certain type of people, a specific type of people. Thirsting is a desire for God. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O God, for thee. There's a thirst in the soul, a desire for God worked by the Holy Spirit. Sinners are born again, and there comes a thirst that they never had before. There's a longing for reconciliation. There's a longing for God. There's a longing to be reconciled because they learn there's a separation because of their sin. They long, they thirst to be reconciled with God. They long for his favor. They long for his communion with him. My friend, we're all thirsty, but have you become thirsty? Thirsty by God's grace for God, for him, as David expressed in Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Is that you? No more water? Yes, there's water, but no water to quench your thirst, your soul. You have a thirst for God. And maybe you tried to quench your thirst by being very faithful coming to church. Good. But does it really quench your thirst? Maybe you try, I will try to keep all the commandments to an extra way this week in my thoughts and words and deeds. Does it quench your thirst? What do you find out? More sin. My friend, are you thirsting for God? Are you hungry and thirsty for the living God? Or are you still thirsty for only the things of this world? The water of this world is like salt water. Salt water. The more you drink, the thirst you are. And what does it lead to? It leads to death. Death. Young people, this world only leads to death. Older ones, this world only leads to death. If any man, and the Lord Jesus continues, let him come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. The Lord Jesus Christ says, let the thirsty sinner, those thirsty sinners that are perishing with thirst, come to me. Jerusalem, Jews, it's not that water in those golden cups, it's in me. Let him come unto me, come to me. And he's not speaking about taking a physical journey, walking to your feet and just physically coming to him. No, he's speaking figuratively. He's speaking about coming to him, coming with your heart, coming with your mind, coming with the understanding to come to him by faith as a lost, guilty, hell-worthy sinner. Come unto me. He says, come to me. He doesn't say, go to your pastor. He doesn't say, go to the leaders of Jerusalem. He doesn't say, just go to church regularly, which is good. He doesn't say, go to the sacraments. No, he says, you need to come to me. Come to me. To me, he says, who is that? What is that pronoun speaking of whom? Of Jesus Christ, of the Lamb of God, who came into this world to merit salvation. Merit salvation for perishing sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me. We need that gift of faith, which teaches what? Our guilt. That's the first point of true and saving faith. It includes guilt, believing the record of God's word, of what he says, of who I am in the presence of an almighty and just God, but also to believe what God's word says of that only way of salvation of his dear son, Jesus Christ. My friend, in this year, have you become a guilty sinner? Has there come a thirst in your soul that you never, ever had before in your life? Is there a need for that Savior, Jesus Christ? Has his word that he is the way, the truth, and the life become precious? Thirsty sinners for God, this is a sweet invitation. Come unto me. Or is there no need in your hearts? Is there no need to be reconciled? Do you have no guilt? Yes, you have guilt, but you don't see it. He says, come to me. I have a righteousness to cover you, unrighteous, filthy sinner. He says, come to me. I am the consolation. I can comfort you, which no other thing and no one else and no other way that you can receive comfort. Come to me. I have life. I have life. I have everything you need. And then he says, come unto me and drink. Drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Congregation, it's not enough to be thirsty. It's not enough to be thirsty. There are also thirsty people in hell. There is thirsty people. We need to drink. We need to drink. We need that act of faith. Drinking is an act of faith, of coming, of trusting, of surrendering, and needing Him, looking to Him in faith. Remember the rich man? He was thirsty. He was thirsty. He was in hell. And he asked for a drop of water. He was in torments. And he was asking for a drop of water. And he never heard the invitation in hell. That invitation will not be heard there anymore. No more. No more grace. Over. But he was denied one drop of water. But today, congregation, the door of grace is still open. There's an overflowing fountain of grace. There's water in Him who is the Lamb of God, the living water. And He says, come unto me and drink. Drinking is an illustration of saving faith. My friend, we need to drink. We need that true and saving faith in that second person in the Trinity, in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to come close to the water. It's not enough to hear about the water. We need to drink. To hear about water, it doesn't quench your thirst. It doesn't satisfy. We don't receive blessings. We need to drink or we'll perish. It's not enough to hear about the door, to be close to the door. We need to enter in. We need to be through the door. We need faith in Jesus Christ. And He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It's not enough to read your Bible. It's not enough to know the truth, to hear the truth of Jesus Christ, to even hear the invitations of Jesus Christ. We need the truth in us. We need to be united with Him who is the overflowing fountain of all good. Maybe you're sitting here tonight. And you say, how? How can I be united? What is it to drink? How can I be united with a precious, rich Savior? Well, may I ask you, how will water enter into our bodies to satisfy our thirst? By drinking. Water enters into our body by drinking from a glass of water. How will a sinner, a guilty, wretched, polluted sinner, be united with Jesus Christ by faith, by that precious gift of faith? Faith is a gift of God. He also has everything you need. He also has faith. True saving faith is a gift of God, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And so we come to the end of our first two thoughts. Urgency and freeness. But have you drank? Have you? Have you taken a little sip? Or are you still rejecting because you love only the waters, the salt waters of this world? Let us sing together now. Psalter 255, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 255, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. To the rock of our salvation, loud hosannas let us raise. Thankful tribute gladly bringing, let us come before Him now. And with psalms His praises singing, joyful in His presence bow. Psalter 255, stanzas 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
congregation our last thought, the promise connected to this invitation. We read in verse 38, "He that believeth on me." This is a parallel to verse 37. This, with these words, we hear what it is to thirst for God, to come to Jesus Christ and to drink. It is believing in Jesus Christ. It is important to notice every word. Also, that word, that singular pronoun, the Lord says, "He." He doesn't say they, a group. He says, "He." What does that tell us, congregation, tonight in connection with this invitation? It means that it's personal. We need personal regeneration. We need personal repentance. And we need personal faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot be saved as a congregation. We cannot be saved as a group. We cannot be saved as a family. We cannot be saved as children or as a husband and wife. It's individual. It's personal. We need it personally. Personally to thirst for God. Personally to drink. Personally to believe in Jesus Christ. And he says, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said." No, we cannot make our own gospel. We cannot make our own Savior. We must follow God's record, the scripture, what the scripture says. The scripture testifies of one Savior, of Jesus Christ, and of one way of salvation. But we also need to have true saving faith. There's different types of faith, congregation. It's not enough to know historical truths in your head. It's not enough. We do not need historical faith. We do not need miraculous faith. We do not need temporary faith. We need true saving faith. Do you know that the devils also have faith? How is your faith different? If you confess to have faith, how is it different than the devil's? Is it different? The devils have historical faith. We read in James 2 verse 19, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well." The devils also believe and tremble. The devil knows that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, but they hate him. They hate him. My friend, do you have true saving faith in the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? True faith surrenders to the Lord with the entire heart. They come as guilty, lost, wretched ones. They come with all their sins, all their iniquities, all their transgressions, and they come to him, surrendering to him, bowing at his feet. But they do not only need him as a Savior, they also need him as Lord. He becomes Lord and Savior in true and saving faith. Is Jesus Christ Lord and Savior in your life, my friend? Is there faith in him? Have you surrendered to him? Is the Lord Jesus Christ King in your life, or are you still king? True believers, they love him. They love him. We know if we love someone, right? We do. Husbands, you know if you love your wives. Wives, you know if you love your husbands. Children, you know if you love your siblings, if you know your parents. We know that feeling. And those with true saving faith also love him with a love, a deep love. He becomes precious to them. They deny self. They want to follow him. They want to obey him. They want to serve him. They take up their cross or crosses and they follow him, denying self, following the Lord and the Savior. They thirst for him. They're like Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. They long for him. They long for the Savior. My friend, is the Lord Jesus Christ precious to you? Do you need him at the end of this year? Do you long for him? Do you hunger for him? Do you thirst for him as a guilty sinner? Do you want to obey him as Lord and Savior? It's not just making a choice in your head. No, it's not. It's not just having some emotions. No, it's your whole being. It's with your heart, with your soul, by grace that's planted in there. It's with your whole being. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here we read the promise of those that come and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, they have the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit works those fruits, and those fruits flow into them and out of them. They receive blessings. He that comes to him as a lost sinner, believing in him, eating, drinking, is an act of faith. They will receive blessings. They receive a personal blessing, a blessing of pardon, blessing of joy, blessing of peace, blessing of reconciliation, blessing of communion, blessings of favor. And they will also buy the grace received. Out of them will flow the graces. They will be a blessing to others, blessed to be a blessing. They receive the blessings of the gospel and they become a blessing. I think of Paul, of how the Lord richly used him as a blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come and drink. Come to me and drink, and you will receive blessings. May I ask you, do you thirst for God? Do you thirst for God at the end of this year of 2024? He says, come to me and drink. Do you need forgiveness for all your sins? He says, come to me and drink. In me there is pardon. Do you desire peace in your soul? Can you find no peace in your soul? He says, come unto me and drink, and you shall have peace. Do you desire true joy and true comfort in your soul? He says, come to me and drink, because in me is comfort, is soul. He's that faithful, that overflowing, abundant fountain of consolation for wretched sinners. Do you need grace to fight against sin, temptation, and your own flesh? He says, come to me and drink. In me is riches of grace to live holy. Do you need grace to fight, to resist all the assaults of Satan? Is he attacking, persecuting you? He says, come to me and drink. I have grace, I have power. Do you desire communion with God? He says, come to me and drink. Lambs, sheep, sinners, you may drink, and you may drink, and you may drink daily. Sometimes wells go dry, useless, no more water, but this well, an innumerable multitude of filthy, of needy sinners needing all that grace, they can drink and drink again and again, and still there's an overflowing fountain, abundance of grace that flows from those merits of Jesus Christ. Moses hit that rock and water flowed, but Jesus Christ, he was hit. He was hit with the sword of the justice of his own Father, and out of him flows an abundance of grace for the wretched sinners. He said, I thirst. He willingly went to that way to suffer and experience thirst in his body and in his soul, that those who deserve to forever thirst, to be forever cast out, will never thirst, but will forever be able to drink of those rivers of waters of grace. And he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, you have no money? Bankrupt ones? He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Children of God, why do we experience so little peace? Why do we experience so little joy, so little of those graces? Is it not because we're not as thirsty as we should be? Is it not because we don't come to him and drink as we ought to? Is it not because when we do come to drink, we only take a little sip when there's an abundance in him? He says in the Song of Songs, "O friends, drink, drink abundantly, O my beloved," because he has an abundance. And he wants you, Church of God, to live and to enjoy those blessings of his grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of this year, on this last Lord's Day, he speaks. And he warmly, kindly, urgently, freely, with a promise, gives an invitation. And my prayer is, I can only try to bring it to your ear, congregation. I cannot do any more. And even to do that, I need the Lord's help. But my prayer is that when that outward invitation goes, then it goes into hearts of poor, needy sinners, and that it may be sweet, and that they may hear and listen and be drawn, and that they may drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God, may we ask thee and beg thee and beseech thee, bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, wilt thou take away those wills that resist also the invitation, break them, and maybe become guilty, lost. But also, Lord, we pray that thy word may come with power and draw thirsty ones, polluted ones, to thyself, and that they may truly drink of thee, that overflowing fountain of good. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy help in this day. Without thee, we can do nothing but take away whatever was not according to thy will in listening and in preaching, blotted out in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Keep us, Lord, and may we come together one more time in this year on New Year's Eve, and may we ask thee, Lord, that thou would gather with us, that thy word may be blessed to our never dying souls. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 52, all four stanzas. Psalter 52, all four stanzas. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd, therefore I no want shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow. And when fainting, sweet refreshment dost bestow. 52, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Just one reminder that New Year's Eve, the service is at 7 o'clock, not 7:30. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.